on the 5th of January. I finished it, preached the whole sermon that night in Saron South, just because we had Lord's table here that morning and was unable to finish. I'm going to finish our vision service this morning and this message, which is titled, "And When They Saw." If you'll go ahead and turn your Bibles back to John in chapter 20, is where we'll be. There is no need for you to stand again. We've already stood for the reading of the Word of God this morning. And I'm going to pick up in and around verse, say, 18. Verse 18 in John chapter 20. And I just wanted to reiterate this morning. I'll briefly review what we looked at 2 weeks ago, and then we'll dig right in into the completion of this message. But I do want to open up with a question for you in this new year. My question to you is, what is going to define you in 2020? A few weeks back, we preached a message around the idea of looking back in 2019, seeing how your life was affected, maybe the mistakes you made, maybe the good things you did, maybe the successes that you experienced and had, but also things that you could have done better in 2019, and how we can reflect and learn from them going into 2020. And so my question to you today is, what will define you in this upcoming year? Beloved, I'm convinced that if we fail to learn from history, we will render ourselves incapable of making the needed changes to improve on where we have found wanting in our evaluation. So here's what we find in John chapter 20. Begin with me in verse 18. We know that Mary Magdalene has already seen Jesus at the tomb. He told her to go back and tell the disciples what she had both seen and heard. And verse 18 says, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then, notice that with me if you will, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Father in heaven, we pray a special blessing upon your message this morning. We ask you, dear God, to work in our lives. Lord, I pray today that you would please just bless us in a wonderful way. We need your help. We need to hear from heaven. We need to hear from the Word of God today. Lord, we just pray that you would move, dear God. And I ask you, Lord, this morning that whomever may hear this message and wherever they may be, Lord, if they are the one that is in most need, the most dire need of this message today, Father, please speak to their heart through the moving and the power and might of the Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, we do ask all of these things today. Amen and amen. Beloved, we find in this week here, as we spoke of two weeks ago, that these disciples had experienced a great tragedy. And I alluded to the point of what they had experienced and the problems that they saw. They saw the death of their Savior, the death of the Messiah. They were huddled around in this room here with the doors closed and locked for fear of their own lives. The very same thing that had happened to Jesus Christ was going to happen to them as well. And we read about Jesus being delivered and how they crucified him and how it hurt their heart. Guys, here's what I want us to focus on this year. The things that we see affect our heart. The things that we see affect our actions. The influences that we are around and what we allow into our eye gate is something that affects us every single step of the way. Jeremiah said in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 51, he says, mine eye affecteth mine heart. These disciples were affected by what they saw in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. But not only that, my friend, not only that. Think about this tragedy that they were experiencing. Think about the witnessing of these tragic events that they had seen. Think about if you go all the way back to the Old Testament and you think about what Jeremiah was viewing when he saw his entire nation, guys, turn their back against God. And he had already read the prophet Isaiah. He had already read the different prophecies to know that when a nation turns their back against God, that God is going to enact judgment upon them. And so when he saw his people openly sinning, disregarding the Lord, disregarding his word, disregarding his day, disregarding his worship, it began to break his heart. He said, mine eye affecteth mine heart. These disciples were no different that day when Jesus was crucified. They were no different when they saw the tragic events of the day, the arrest of Jesus Christ, the scourging of Jesus Christ, the mockery of Jesus Christ, the plaiting of the crown of thorns of Jesus Christ, all the things that he experienced through what we call today his Passion Week. The word passion means to suffer. That's why the word compassion or co-passion, if you will, means to co-suffer along with someone. It affected their heart, my friend. Think about it. These disciples have seen Jesus raise the dead. These disciples had seen Jesus feed the 5,000, feed another 4,000, heal the blind, heal the deaf, make the paralytic walk, heal the dumb, cast thousands of devils out from one man. And they saw much, much more. And yet, when the tragic event came into their life, they saw that as well. And it affected their heart for fear. They were huddled around in this room. So think about what they had seen this day now. But that third day, Jesus Christ arose, and that news came to their ears. That news came to their ears. And in verse 20, we find that he appears unto them. They saw Jesus Christ resurrected. They saw him for who he was. Not who he really was, but who he had all along said that he was. And it started out this week with the turn. It not only started out with the turn with the disciples there in this room, but it started out with a turn from Mary. I want you to notice something. Again, this is still part of the review, and I understand that. But I want you to, and we'll go through it hurriedly, guys. We'll get into the next, the last points and subpoints. Look in verse 14 of John in chapter 20. Mary is already there in the grave. She's there at the tomb. We know as the garden tomb there, just above Golgotha. And in verse 14, it says, and when she had thus said, she turning herself back, watch this, and saw Jesus standing. It says, and knew not that it was Jesus. But if you look down real quick to verse 16, it says, Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Get this picture with me, if you will, this morning. She turned and saw him and knew not who he was. Somewhere between that point and the next point, she must have turned back again and says, well, I'm going to leave because I don't know where he is. And she's weeping and she's crying. And all of a sudden, she hears that word. She hears her name called and spoken of by the Master. She recognized that voice. And Jesus Christ said, Mary. And she turned herself again. And her heart was now affected by what she saw. Because now she saw the resurrected Savior. Beloved, I said this 2 weeks ago, and I'm going to say it again. If we or anyone in this world today are going to see Jesus for who he is, if we're going to see Jesus, if this world is going to see Jesus Christ and make them glad in their heart, we are going to have to turn from who and what we are. We're going to have to turn from our own thoughts, our own understanding. We're going to have to turn to who and what Jesus Christ is in his life and put aside what we think we are in this world. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 3:5, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Guys, you know when you lean against something, you ever know, teenagers are real bad about this, and I guess we all have been at one time or not. Teenagers, if you get them near anything, they either step on it or lean on it, don't they? They like to lean. For some reason, they're in almost their strongest time of their entire life. Because once you get past 25, I'm going to go ahead and let you know it's downhill from there, amen. But for some reason, man, they just like to lean, don't they? They like to lean on things. And you may have some kid likes to lean on you, amen. And there's nothing wrong with that. I like affection and love and all this and that. But guys, when you're leaning on something, you ever seen somebody lean on something and it moves when you lean on it? I don't mean to laugh at somebody's fall, but it is kind of funny sometimes to lean on it, goes with them, there they go off the ledge. Guys, when you're leaning on something, you're depending on that. I was reading this morning in my daily reading, the book of Genesis, when Jacob wrestled with the Lord, he wrestled with the angel of the Lord. There was a pre-incarnate image or appearance of Jesus Christ. It's called a theophany, and there he wrestled with God, and God touched the hollow of his thigh, and it shrunk up, amen, and from that point forward, he leaned on that staff. He had to depend on that staff to support him. Well, my friend, if we're going to have an effect, if we're going to have an effect in this world today, we have to stop leaning on our own abilities, on our own desires. Guys, you're going to have to quit leaning on your own past, even your own heritage. We got to quit leaning on what may come naturally to us and our own personal talents. I said this last week by way again of review, and I'll try to get through this, or 2 weeks ago. The first thing that we must turn from is we must turn from our own function. We must be willing to set aside our own natural, normal, and even hereditary functions in order to reach a world for Christ's sake. The verse that I used under this heading of function was what Paul said there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, and that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law." He goes on and says, "And to them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." Praise God. "And this I do not for his own sake. This I do not for his own prestige. This I do not for his own promotion. This I do not for his own accolades. This I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." My friend, I'm just here to tell you today, Paul's not saying to the drunkard became I drunk, or to the pornographer became I a pornographer. He's not saying that you get inside the pig pen to reach the pigs, amen. But he is saying that there's some things that you got to turn from in your own life. There's some areas of our own days that we have to set aside. I use the illustration of me and my family coming into a foreign land. My friend, this is not America, and we're not here to build an American church. Hallelujah. We are in the valleys of Wales, and we will build a Welsh church here. We are in the United Kingdom, and we will acclimate to the culture of where we are, and nothing less and nothing more. Can I get an amen right there? And I know that's American, but hey, you know, we can mix a little bit in there. Amen. We can stay tight, can't we, you know? Bluntly put, guys, we have to get over ourselves. We have to get under the Holy Spirit. We have to get busy to reach a lost and darkened world for Jesus Christ. And if we continue to lean to our own abilities, our own understanding, we're never going to do that. We have to turn. So we have to have a turn in our function. So now we get into what was where we left off. If we're going to see Jesus Christ for who and what he is, we have to have a turn of our faith. We have to have a turn of our faith, my friend. As we've embarked into this new year, our vision is to become clearer. Our faith must become stronger. Beloved, the disciples were glad when they saw Jesus. Their heart jumped for joy, amen. And faith is the key. The ability for you to have gladness in your life today is fortified by faith mixed with joy. That doesn't, happiness has absolutely, positively nothing to do with it. Happiness is a result of what is happening. But gladness is seeing Jesus Christ for who he is. Joy is knowing Jesus Christ for what he is. And my friend, those are the two things that you have in your life. But you're going to have them by faith. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 tells us that without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Beloved, we live in a world today, whether we want to believe it or not, or whether we want to understand it, we live in a world today that wants a sign. They want to see lights in the sky. They want to see Mary's face on a waffle. They want some type of proof before they step out by what they so erroneously refer to as a blind leap of faith. Søren Kierkegaard came up with the phrase, blind leap of faith. He was the son of a minister himself. He was a philosopher. He was believed to be a Christian. But he spoke about this blind leap of faith. And people took that little phrase and they ran with it and they applied it into church. But when you begin to study Søren Kierkegaard's writings out, he never believed that his faith was blind. He never believed that his leap was in the darkness, not knowing what may befall him before him. He trusted and he had faith, and therefore he moved forward without sight. That's what he was referring to. Beloved, they want to have Jesus walk into a room. The world today wants to see the paralytic walk. So do I. Listen, they want some dance and a vision in their eyes. And they say, look, they want to see that before they will believe. Can I say this to you this morning? That is not going to happen. You are not going to see sugar fairies or plum fairies, whatever they're called in the Nutcracker. You're not going to see those in a vision today to prove to you who and what Jesus Christ is. What are they called in the Nutcracker? Sugar fairies? Sugar plum fairies. So we got it all in there. You're not going to see dancing sugar plum fairies to prove that Jesus Christ exists. It's not happening in this world. Why? Read the verse behind me. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. If you see the sugar plum fairies to prove who Jesus Christ, I got this stuck in my head, and I'm going to say it for a week. I know it. So I mean, if that's what you see to prove who Jesus Christ is, for the rest of your life, you'll never please God. Because you'll be without faith. The Lord Jesus Christ is not a sideshow in a carnival. He is not going to give you more than he has already given you within the pages of the Holy Scripture and the measure of faith that he's placed into every man, woman, and child conceived into this world. Paul said by inspiration in Romans chapter 12, my favorite chapter in all the book, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to God, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And when you read the word man, it means mankind, not males. Every man, woman, and child born into this world, conceived in this planet, the Lord has given them a measure of faith. That measure is likened unto ingredients in a recipe, whether it's 100 grams or 20 grams of this, 30 grams of that, 40 grams. That's what that measure is. God himself is the one that provides life, not mankind, not science, not whatever, not the sugar plum fairies. Here we go. Hey, listen, God provides life. And when he provides that life, that conception, he places a little measure of faith. For Daniel, it may be 100 grams. For Denise, it may be 1,000. For me, it may be 2. But he puts a measure of faith for the purpose in our life to please him. The outcome of this measure of faith is up to where the measure of faith is planted. You hear people say many times, just have faith. That's not enough, my friend. Again, I know for our church, guys, I've belabored this point many times over. I can have faith in this building or these pews. I can have all the faith that I want to in this. Your faith is only as good as to what element you place it in. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 17, it says very clearly, it says in verse 17, verse 20, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as of a grain of mustard seed, you shall see or say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Jesus Christ is not advocating small faith. And I know that I've belabored this point in previous sermons before, but for continuity's sake in the message here, just endure for me for a moment. That measure of faith that is given inside of us by God himself must be planted in the correct soil. The seed is only good as the ground that it is planted into. And our faith today, be it 2 grams, 100 grams, 1,000 grams, whatever it may be, must be planted in Jesus Christ if we want to see success today. If you want to see who and what Jesus Christ is, if you want that gladness in your heart and that joy to jump inside of your soul, you're going to have to see who Jesus is. But your faith, it's going to be planted in him. You're going to have to turn of your faith away from your own understanding and turn it to Jesus Christ. So my friend, you're going to have a turn of your function. You have to have a turn of your faith. If we're going to see Jesus for who and what he is, we must have a turn of our focus, my friend. Turn of our focus. Colossians chapter 3 tells me, set your affections on things that are above, not on things of the earth. Beloved, simply put, in 2020, we want to understand what defines us. What's going to define you is where your focus is. Upon whom will your focus be? Will you focus on the tragedy? Are you going to keep looking back to 2019 of what failures may or may not have occurred in your life? What successes you may or may not have had in 2019? Or are you going to turn your focus upon the only one that can bring gladness into your life, and that's Jesus Christ? You know, Peter did that. Man, Peter gets a hard time. Peter, it seems like Peter opened his mouth for one thing, and that was to change feet. I mean, he was always saying something he shouldn't have. Amen. But mind you, Peter's the only one. I think you preached on this last week. Peter, you know, out of all those other guys on the boat, when Jesus Christ was walking on that water, Peter said, if it be you, bid me to come. Jesus said, come. Come on, man. Peter's the only other person in human history that is recorded to defy the laws of physics and walk on water. I'm not talking about a circus trick. I'm not talking about what we see, Copperfields and all the magic. I'm talking about legitimately the walk on the water. But you know what? Even Peter, Lord bid him to come. He stepped on out of that water. He started walking. But it was the moment he took his eyes off Jesus Christ, the moment he looked at the tragedy, the moment he looked at the storm, the moment he looked at the tempest, he sunk like a rock. Where's your focus today? Your focus within your turn must be toward Jesus Christ. Your function in the community that God has placed you must be within Jesus Christ. Hey guys, listen, our faith in that turn must be toward Jesus Christ. Last 2 points this morning, it'll be quick and we'll be done. I want you to notice thirdly with me, I want you to see here that Mary saw. She saw that she had a testimony. The effect of what she saw gave her a testimony. Look in verse 18 with me. We read this in our opening setting this morning. The Bible says that Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord. They had spoken these things unto her. Beloved, she simply just came and told what she had seen. An eyewitness account of the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only that what she had seen, but what he had told her. That's what she did. Can I tell you, that's all that a testimony is. If you testify to the things that you've seen and you have heard and what Jesus has done. We see that in Acts chapter 4, how Peter and John, they were arrested, beaten. They said, don't you preach in this name. And they went right back out there. They started preaching in that name. They said, how can we not but speak the things that we have seen and we have heard? Beloved, you got to understand this morning. A testimony is what's going to change the events of history. A testimony is what's going to change the direction of a human soul. The Bible tells us it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Every man, woman, and child is born into this world today. They were born and they're chasing death. And as sad as that may seem, that is the reality of life, that it ends in death. And I'm here to tell you this morning that you can be glad, and those that hear the words that you speak can be glad when they see your testimony of Jesus Christ. Simply put, you testify of what God has done for you. Lastly, this morning, in pursuing a 2020 vision for this year, if our hearts are going to be glad, listen to this, if our hearts are going to be filled with joy, now that's the meaning of the word joyful, isn't it? Joyful. You're full of joy. It's going to be down when we finally see the truth. When we finally see the truth. Look at verse 20, which is our text verse for the entire year. John 20:20 says that when they had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they, watch this, saw the Lord. It was when they saw the nail prints in his hands. It was when they saw the wound in his side that they were glad. That sounds a little bit sadistic, doesn't it? I mean, you know, at first glance, you're like, oh my goodness, I'm seeing wounds. Now I'm happy. That's not the point. The point is, it proved to them that this was the very Christ. It proved to them this was the very one that they had followed for 3.5 years. It proved to them that the very one who had said all these words before, and healed all these people and fed all these people and saw the dead raise again, the very one who hung on that cross and says, it is finished, is now come back again. Jesus was alive evermore. He was risen victorious from the grave. Beloved, Jesus Christ said this. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. My friend, we're never going to see the Lord. We're never going to be with God unless it is through the one who is victorious over the grave. And the only one that's been thus far is Jesus Christ. You say, well, what about Lazarus? Yeah, Lazarus, because of Jesus Christ. How many times have I told you, if Jesus Christ should have stepped up there at those graves and said, come forth, every dead body in that whole land would have got up and walked. But he says, Lazarus, come forth. My friend, they were glad when they knew and he was alive. That all they had prepared for it in the last 3.5 years was now coming to fruition. It was the truth of the Savior. It was the truth of salvation. It was satisfying of the payment of sin, which bore the witness to the soul that very day. And now their hearts were glad because they saw him. So, beloved, do you want to be glad today? I think we all do, don't we? If you want to be glad, my friend, can I give you a little encouragement this morning that we'll be finished? If you want to be glad today, you got to take your eyes off the tragedy. You got to take your eyes off the tempest, amen. You got to take your eyes off the tumultuous storm that is brewing in your life. You got to take your eyes off of that. I'm not talking about sticking your head in the sand. I'm talking about getting those eyes where they belong, amen. Beloved, if you want to be glad this morning, you got to turn your function. You have to turn your faith. You have to turn your focus upon Jesus Christ. Beloved, if you want to be glad today, you're going to have to testify of the great things that are told unto you by His precious Word to a world who needs it most today. Who needs it most. Wednesday nights I'm teaching that series, Alphas, and why we need them more now than ever. Beloved, we need some people, some Christians, men, women, and children who are willing to be leaders, to step up and be strong in our world. Beloved, you want to be glad today, you're going to have to see the truth for who and what He is in Jesus Christ. When you see Jesus for what He is, when you see Jesus for what He has done, when you see Jesus for who He is in your life, the life of mankind, that's when you're going to be glad. So, beloved, in 2020, our goal this year, our desire is to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, to testify of the truth and hope for a world to turn from the tragedy of sin unto the Savior of mankind. Will you bow your heads this morning? Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity this morning. I pray that your message has gone forth, Lord, in the manner that you had seen fit. I pray, dear God, that you would work your mighty work of miracles, Lord, within people's hearts and minds today. I pray, dear Lord, that the faith that you had instilled in every man, woman, and child in this world today would now be placed in seeing who Jesus Christ is and for what He has done and for the sacrifice that was paid upon the cross of Calvary, but the victory that was proclaimed and Him stepping forth out of that grave. Lord, we love you. We thank you for who and what you are. And I pray that you work your works this morning amongst your people. Lord, in Jesus Christ's glorious name, we ask these things today. Amen and amen. I hope and pray this morning that God was good to you, the preaching and teaching of His Word.